I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey there, welcome back in, everybody, to this new episode, brand spanking shiny and new episode of Prep Rally. Brad here with you, joined this week by James. Welcome back, James.
Happy to be here, Brad.
Been doing a lot of podcasting lately. Got the we've brought Justify Your Existence back.
Yep, Justify Your Existence now has two episodes up. We just recorded one yesterday with Michael Katz, our Ole Miss beat writer. We have that and an episode from last week, so definitely check those out if you have the chance.
Where can we find those again? I assume they're linked on the DJournal website.
They are. There is a podcast section of the website that you can find it on, and just wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to find Justify Your Existence.
All right. Glad to have that back. Talking college sports on that podcast, talking high school sports on this one, Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes or Spotify or like James said, anywhere you find podcasts. Also online at preprally.djournal.com. And give us a follow on Twitter for all the updates you could possibly want on college and high school sports in the area at djournalsports. Well, it's hard to believe, James, but basketball season has begun, and we can prove it because we went to games last night.
Yep, we went to pretty entertaining ones.
Yeah, the season officially began Tuesday for a lot of teams, and not everybody played last night. Of course, you got some teams waiting for football to end before they get their boys' teams out on the court. But yeah, had a lot of games last night, and also if you didn't see it in Tuesday's paper, I had a little preview package of the season, had players to watch, had preseason rankings. On the girls' side, Pontotoc, to me, is easily the number one team on paper, and based on what I saw at their jamboree when they manhandled Starkville in just two quarters of action, brought most everybody back from the team that reached the 4A state championship game last year and added some nice pieces with the transfers Lila Cox and Hannah Finley. So Pontotoc, number one girls team to start the season. Number one boys team, Boonville, the two-time defending 3A champs. Got Kedrick Simmons and Dalton Jackson, a bunch of those guys back this year. And got a real good shot to three-peat, no doubt. So check out all of that in Tuesday's Journal or online at djournal.com. And then, like I said, last night, James and I both got out to games, and I have already been proved disastrously wrong in at least one of my rankings. I had Lafayette's girls at number six. They lost to unranked Itawamba AHS last night, 72-42. It was a good game till halftime. It was just a two-point game at the half. Itawamba led, I think, at 33-31, but in the third quarter, they just went off and went on a 15-0 run. And Kelsey Dilworth and Olivia Smith, that guard duo, produced most of the offense in that quarter and for the game. Dilworth ended up with 28 points, and Smith ended up with 21. And both just got to the rim, knocked down the occasional jumper. I mean, combined shooting between those two alone, 20 of 32 from the floor. It's not bad, James. And they can grab rebounds, too. Like I said, they're guards. They combine for 12 rebounds. So, you know, Itawamba, in its fifth year under head coach Anna Porter, who used to play there, and they were very successful when she played there and for years afterward. She came back a few years ago after coaching at Tremont for a bit. They've had some growing pains. Finished a little bit over 500 last year, but she said last night after the game that they want to get back on the map as far as being – a team to be reckoned with, and that's a really good start because Lafayette did not play its best last night, is better than what they showed. So that's a good win. I mean, that's a really good win for Itawamba. So keep an eye on them this season. Then you had Morville and Shannon Boys last night. Barn burner, James, 38-37. Morville pulled it out.
Yeah, very much so. Shannon got a pretty tight hold of this game early. Jordan Medcalf is a name to watch. There were just times when if he wanted to score a basket, he was going to get a basket. They had size on the interior that they were able to utilize, and they went into the fourth quarter up 9, But Morville started to play a more aggressive defense. They forced some more turnovers, and they were eventually able to rattle off a 10-0 run to go up by one. Then Metcalf made another basket to put Shannon up by one. Morville hits a free throw. Then Morville gets it back with, I believe, 18.7 seconds left. 3 seconds in, Turner Blankenship draws a foul, makes the first free throw, misses the second one. Shannon tries to get the game-winning basket, turns it over, and then Morville's able to run the clock out. This was a Morville team that is, to say the least, young. Mm-hmm. Every single starter was starting his first high school basketball game.
Wow.
So, yeah, Jim Talley, the coach, wasn't quite sure how they would respond to that, being in that situation for the first time. But, you know, as I mentioned in the article, they came out swinging and they landed the punches they needed to when they needed to.
Yeah, and Shannon is usually going to be a very competitive and athletic team. I'm sure, I know they still got some guys at football, and Morville probably does too. But good start there for Morville to open the season. Okay, let's jump into football. It's a playoff time for everybody now. We'll get to the first round of 5A through 7A in a moment. But first, let's look back at last week. A non-playoff game, the final regular season game for Tupelo. They hosted Starkville with the Region 2 7A title on the line. And boy, did the Golden Wave look good. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I picked Starkville to win, which is what I get for going with my gut. Was not even close. 36-6, Tupelo with the win. They dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I mean, it was really about as simple as that, James. I mean, part of it obviously was the talent Tupelo has up front, but Starkville was not impressed with their line play on either side of the ball. I don't think you've seen them yet this year, James, have you?
I actually went to this game.
That's right. You did end up going to this game. You might.
Yeah, okay. I went to the game. I had a bit of free time. I decided to go, and it just seemed like Tupelo was really able to do that. And now Quay Middlebrooks and J.J. Hill do deserve a lot of credit for getting that run game going, that offensive line was able to do a lot of good. And the defensive line, too. To be able to make Trey Petty look that uncomfortable is saying something.
And he and Braylon Burnside could never get on the same page. I think Braylon had maybe two catches. And, you know, those are two of the best players in the state on the same team. Petty, the quarterback, and Burnside, the wide receiver. Burnside, by the way, decommitting from MSU the other day. James has an update on that if you missed it. But, this probably was the best game Tupelo's played all year, just all around. You know, we've had some questions about the defense. They've given up some points at times. Had some questions about the offensive consistency. Jeremiah Harrell, you know, his numbers were good this year, but not what they were last year. But he was really sharp on Thursday against Starkville, 12 of 16, threw four touchdown passes, had a rushing touchdown, and was spreading the ball around. He's got so many weapons, like from Tyreek Darden to Quay Middlebrooks to J.Q. Witherspoon, and, of course, J.J. Hill, the other running back. That, to me, right there, if Tupelo plays that way the rest of the way, I think they win state.
Yeah, I the throws I saw Harrell make might have been the games that I've been able to get to. Mm-hmm. Those were the best throws I've seen him make all season. Like, there, I think the second or third touchdown he made, and I think the last one he made to put them up 35-6, 36-6, he makes a pump fake to make the cornerbacks just move a little bit, and then he just located it perfectly to be able to get into the end zone. If he's playing like that.
And that's how he played pretty much every week last year. He was he can do that, and he just, you know, needs to do it consistently. And I think obviously that's a great way to enter the postseason, playing that way against that kind of team. So Tupelo wins the region number one playoff seed. We'll get to the matchups there in a minute. Playoffs opened last week for 1A through 4A. You had a 4A game, Houston and Shannon. Second time they've met this year. Houston won in the regular season. Houston won again, 34-13, and between William Echols and Jalen Washington, just those two, that'll take you a long way. But they've got some other guys too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Steele Brooks did a terrific job being able to keep the Shannon defense on its toes. A very athletic defense, to be completely fair. This didn't start that well for Houston. They were down 7-0. They had a turnover on downs where on a fourth down, a wide open receiver just missed it. and then Shannon marched down the field for a touchdown. But Shannon gets a touchdown to tie it, and then on the ensuing kickoff return, they squib it, and Shannon can't handle it first play. Steel Brooks finds a crossing route wide open. He gets into the end zone, and really Shannon took – and really Houston kind of was able to take over from there and then lean on Echols and lean on Washington to make the plays that they've been making all season.
Yeah, I've said it before. I don't know if anybody can challenge Louisville in 4A North. Probably Houston has the best shot, assuming they get that far. So Houston opens the playoffs with a win there in 4A. And looking ahead to this week's matchups, again, playoffs begin for 5A through 7A this week. Tupelo's got DeSoto Central at home. That shouldn't be too big a problem for the Golden Wave. Oxford hosts Germantown, a team that beat Starkville earlier this year. Oxford won its region, but it's not as strong a region over there in 1-7A as in 2-7A. Don't be surprised if Germantown wins that game. South Haven visits Starkville. Starkville should handle their business. I expect them to bounce back and win that one. 6A, Saltillo back in the playoffs for the first time in, gosh, how long has it been?
I can't remember.
A few years. Yeah. It's been a few years. But they're going to go down to Warren Central. All I know about Warren Central is they're 8-2. And we've got a pretty good quarterback and a really good linebacker, Julian Demby, who's got 22 tackles for loss and 4 interceptions. And I think he's a Mississippi-Alabama guy. But then 5A, Lafayette at Canton. And then we got Corinth at Holmes County Central and Gentry at West Point. And then second round for all the other schools, 1A through 4A. New Albany gets rewarded for winning last week by going to Louisville. So have fun with that one. Houston will get Senatobia on the road. That's going to be a tough game. Senatobia, very good. Amory at West Lauderdale. And then in 3A, you got East Webster at Kossuth. Now, let's talk about this one for a minute. Two very similar teams. You know, they don't do things exactly the same, but you look at them and you think, okay, they can run the ball. Their quarterbacks can run the ball, and they have other guys who can run the ball, and they are going to make life very difficult for you defensively.
I've been talking to both coaches for the advance that I'm working on, and quite simply to them, it's like looking in a mirror. Mm-hmm. These are two teams that love to run. They love to run it a lot. I think I even have the stats right here. But yeah. East Webster runs the ball 70% of the time for 265 yards a game. Kossuth, 74% of the time for about 216 yards a game.
There you go.
And also, another thing that stands out to me is each of them have offensive X factors that I think can really make a difference if they're able to have the kind of games that they've become known for. You know, for East Webster, that's Bryston Johnston.
Yes.
I've noticed about how we've talked about how he has that game-breaking speed, especially on punt returns and in wildcats or on end-arounds. Just plays that get him in open space and get him on the perimeter and in the kind of matchups that favor him that he can kind of win athletically. And then on Kostu's side, it's Hank Eaton, because we've talked about how he's on a tear recently. And he's, again, Kostu doesn't throw a lot, but they've been doing it a little more, and Eaton's been looking better and better.
Yeah, Bryston Johnson of East Webster, he's got like 1,100 yards combined receiving and rushing, pretty evenly split there. So they use him a lot of ways. And you mentioned Hank Eaton, first year to start at quarterback, converted to receiver, signing with Auburn baseball this week, by the way. Been committed to them for a while, but yeah, like you said, it's thrown the ball better, but can really run it. And then they've got Brady Kelly, who's having a really great year running the ball. They've got who's the kid that was a receiver, moved to running back, Rylan Henry.
Rylan Henry,
yeah, because Ryan Pittman got hurt early in the year. And then just, like I said, defensively, they're going to make things really hard on you. Two very gritty teams. I would say two of the grittiest teams in Northeast Mississippi. So huge second-round game in 3A there, East Webster at Kossuth. And then TCPS and Vardaman in 1A. I'll beat this game, by the way. Vardaman undefeated still. And taking on a Tupelo Christian team that is having a pretty good season as well, entering this game with an 8-3 record. This will be a good game, I think. I wouldn't say Vardaman has played the world's toughest schedule, but they've taken care of business, obviously. And they have a legit dude in Zay Pratt. He's not as good as Jathan Hatch, I don't think. But he's kind of that type of player. Big guy, can run the ball really well, and does a tremendous job on defense. He's like a linchpin on defense at linebacker. And so he's got over 1,200 yards rushing with 17 touchdowns. He's got 70 tackles on defense. They got another good linebacker in Rivers Bailey, who has 75 tackles. And then you look at TCPS, we talk about Brewer Bailey all the time, and because he does so much offensively and defensively at quarterback and safety. But, you know, got John Scott, good running back. Gabe Malone, really good linebacker for them. And as I've said before, 1A North, it's Biggersville and everybody else. But I think this is the next tier.
Yep.
is Vardaman and TCPS as far as our teams around here. So Vardaman having one of its best seasons in a long time. Brennan Pugh, when he took over 4 or 5 years ago, they went winless or only had one win his first season. They're in the ditch. He's pulled them out. They're 10-0. So I'm really looking forward to that game and getting a chance to see Zay Pratt. I don't think I've actually seen him play in person. So that'll be a good one. A lot of other good matchups. We'll have previews on all of them. The little capsules we do every week. That'll be in Friday's Journal and at djournal.com. We'll have full coverage of the games we cover in Saturday's Journal and on the website, of course. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. These are the nominees. Female Athlete of the Week nominees: Kelsey Dilworth of Itawamba AHS Basketball, Michaela Wall of Smithville Basketball, and Michaela Windler of Pontotoc Soccer. Male Athlete nominees: William Eccles of Houston Football, Jeremiah Harrell of Tupelo Football, and Justin Verner of Hamilton Football. You can vote in the Athlete of the Week polls that we'll post on Twitter, and that's at D Journal Sports, so give us a follow. And that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow me on Twitter at Brad Locke, and James is on there at JS Murphy Media.
Yep.
And thank you to Pizza Doctor, our sponsor. Find him at Midtown Point in Tupelo. And oh no, we almost forgot to let Podgator say hello. Now he gets to say goodbye. Okay, see y'all next time.